Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man program here on Tuesday, the 13th of June of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be here with you tonight, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be accessing the program. And I'm always so grateful when you tune into this program. I really am. It's not just something I say. I know it can be easy for me to come on here and say, you know, I'm grateful that you tuned in. But obviously, I mean, honestly, you know, I mean that when I say that. It's not just one of those things where I just come on and I just make it sound like a script thing that I just was kind of scripted that I said, you know, so grateful that you tuned in. Nope. I honestly mean it. And, you know, there's something else I love saying, and that is if you've tuned into this program, I really don't think it was an accident if you've tuned in. I honestly don't believe that it was an accident. And even if it was an accident and you don't, and maybe you didn't mean it, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. Because for all you know, you could get something that you need from the Lord. And how bad is that? Oh, that's actually a good thing. you're going to get your soul saved and your life changed and end up going for, instead of going to hell fire, you get saved. Because, of course, for those people who don't give their life to Jesus, if you don't give your life to Jesus, you will burn in hellfire. You will. Yeah, you will. If you don't. Jesus requires that you give your life to him. You know, and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's just like these parables that we read about, you know, in Matthew. It's like the man who goes to the wedding, and he not only goes in without wedding clothes, but he gets on there, he goes in there without wedding clothes, and then the man says, "Hey, how did you get in here without wearing wedding clothes?" And yeah, it's in your Bible. But you know, it's like getting out there without knowing his name, you know. And then the other, I don't know about you. I don't want to be that Christian where that Jesus talks to me on, you know, on Judgment Day, and he says, "River Shukla, I never knew you. I never knew you." I don't plan to hear him saying that to me. I plan to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant."
Yes.
That's what I plan to hear him say. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Mm-hmm. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I plan on him saying to me. So I just keep on keeping on, and, you know, bringing the word, telling people about Jesus, which by the way, if you've given saved, you've gotten saved, you know, you better tell someone else, you know, and not just keep quiet. Because what if everybody who got saved never told anybody?
Got to go fishing.
What if they never told anybody? Then the kingdom wouldn't grow. The kingdom wouldn't grow. And then it would just stay stagnant. You know, it would be like, you know, but you know, so. But anyhow, I do want to thank you for tuning in to the program. And I hope that you do tell other people about the show. Of course, I'm not Jesus at all. I'm not Jesus. But, you know, if I talk about him all the time on my show and And I plan to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, rather than hearing him say, your name's not here. What are you doing? Take him outside where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't plan to hear him say that to me. Mm-hmm. And so the way I say it, but anyhow, you know, and it's like this billboard. I've seen a billboard on the freeway before. It was in Indiana, Kentucky, somewhere like that. It said hell is real. Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing a billboard somewhere like that just last year in 2021 and it was still, or 2021, either in 21 or 22 and it was still there?
I couldn't tell you where it was that I saw it, but I do remember seeing that billboard.
Was it on 65?
I honestly couldn't tell you the location.
Because there was one on 65.
If you say that, I believe it, because you have such a good memory with all of that.
But then again, billboards change a lot over the years.
They do. But I do recall seeing that billboard.
But there's some billboards, like on 75, I feel like here maybe, that have been there like forever.
Yeah, there are some.
But then other ones get switched out.
I think it depends on the person that owns the billboard.
And some people, they just never get changed.
That's true.
I bet you there's some billboards. I would hope there's not billboards for places that don't exist anymore.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny, though?
Yeah. Yeah, like, what if a billboard said, like, for this mall, it does this. You get there, all seven are closed.
Oh, that would be awful.
What? That to me would be a big what?
Yeah, that would be pretty bad, wouldn't it?
Yes. Oh, an exit that claims that it has all these restaurants, and you get there and none of them are there.
Yeah, that'd be so unfortunate.
That'd be false advertising billboard. Way to go, false advertiser.
Right.
But anyhow, you know. But anyhow, I'm just kind of sharing what's kind of on my mind right now. And tonight, I'm going to teach a bit on something that I'm going to call In the Beginning. It'll be based on, you know, Genesis 1 and, you know, how it was. What was the world designed to be? What was it ultimately designed to be before the sin of the world, before Adam and Eve came? I mean, before that sin of Adam and Eve took place where they ate the fruit. And so we'll be looking a bit, you know, at that, the different chapters a little bit, and kind of just, you know, talking about it and kind of, you know, how was it designed to be? How did God design it to be? And then, and speaking of God and his children, I've heard from my pastor where there's preachers that have this idea that all people are children of God. The idea that all people are children of God is actually not true. Those who give their life to Jesus, those of us who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are his children. But not people who, just because they're born on the face of the earth, does not make you a child of God. Does that make sense? Just because you are born on the face of the earth does not make you a child of God. Another thing about this. You don't suddenly become an adult of God just because you turn 18, even though you become an adult. You don't become a grandma of God either when you have grandkids. Or a grandpa of God, or a great-grandpa of God, great-grandma of God. Nope, child of God. Doesn't matter if you live to the limit, 120. Yep, even if you live to the limit, you're still called a child of God when you hit that limit. That limit that was set by God of 120 years. And I've heard of, you know, they claim that there's studies that they could make people live to 150. I didn't even read it. You know why I didn't read it? I didn't read it because God designed it. Now, you know, he designed it now so that people would only live to 120 years. Originally, there were people that were living to like 900 and some years, but then he changed it. And when it was changed, 120 was the limit. And so does it make sense then why I wouldn't even bother to read the article that said that people could possibly be able to live 150 years?
Yes, it does make sense.
Because I would think, garbage! Garbage! I'm not going to read it. I don't need to, because I already know the way God designed it. But then when it's over, you'll go and be with the Lord if you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior and made it to 120. But good for you. And I'll see you in heaven.
6:41 p.m.
And I don't know about you, but I sure plan to go to heaven. That's where I'm going.
Me too.
Amen. See, now those of you who, you know, maybe tune into the program and didn't respond or anything. I know I can't heal you from in your houses or any of that, but I'm sure you should, you know, hopefully you got excited about it, because there's been times in the church where my pastor will say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to heaven. And only a few will say anything. And I'm like, what? He's like, what? And then he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, amen. You know, because, you know, I know who I am in the Lord Jesus. I honestly do. I know who I am in him. And you know, we have that crown, you know, and I don't want that crown to be taken away from me. And no, I am not Humpty Dumpty, and I'm not going to fall down and break my crown. and have that great fall. King's horses, king's men. Nope. Uh-uh. It's not the way it'll be for me. And so, summer starting in so many places, you know, kids off to school. Don't take vacation on God. What do I mean? What I mean is don't just say, okay, it's summer. I'm not going to serve God now. I'm not really going to go to church much at all. I'm just going to, you know, go to church whenever I can. And by the way, I already, and some people, oh, by the way, I already have work, kids, tractors, roses, car, motorcycle, pool toys, a boat, an RV, a camper. For those of you who live in a big city, a camper is a vehicle. You attach a trailer to it. Maybe you attach it to some kind of truck, like an F-150 or something like that. And you take it with you to like a state park or something, or maybe your friend's property or something, and you go and camp for a few days or a day or two or a night or whatever you do. Because some people in the inner city might not understand. They might have seen a camper, but they might not understand the real use of it.
Right.
you know, that's so. But anyhow, you know, stand firm in God, regardless of the season that it might be, because some churches struggle during the summer. Some churches do. And even if the attendance might not go down, the giving does. Because people might think, oh yeah, it's summer. I got vacations. I got, I got this thing. I got that thing. I got these parties. I got, pool, beach, and all that stuff. Planting to do. I'm a farmer. I got to do this. I got to do that. All these excuses. But anyhow, nope. Stand firm. The things of God. And have a good, still have summer. And by the way, if you have a bad attitude towards summer because you think it's too hot, which some people do, those of us who live here in Michigan, we have to suffer brutally in winter, a lot. Some winters, it's terrible. Some winters, I remember a winter like 10 years ago. I think we went below zero like 30 times that winter, honestly. I'd much rather have some 90s than go below zero. Wouldn't you, Jade? Or would you rather go below zero than be in the 90s?
I'd rather go below zero.
What?
I can always put more coats on. I can only take so much off before I'm not publicly decent. It's true. Not every place has air conditioning.
Sorry for that little, thing, that little spat, that big what? That's what I do when I'm rolling dice, and I find that the number is very low, that it's like a one or two instead of it being a five or six that I want. And I don't go what just because I get a three or four. The what was because she said she'd rather have go below zero than be in the 90s. Let me guess, you'd rather be below zero than be 85.
Yes.
What?
Yes, it's true. I'm not a fan of extreme heat.
85 is not extreme. 85 is normal for, like, even out here, 82 is normal in July.
I know.
And you'd still rather be below zero.
Yes.
With the wind chill, that's like 20 below?
I'm okay with that.
Really?
Yeah.
And you'd go in there, maybe, let me guess, you'd go out there in it without a winter coat.
Probably. I normally do.
You would?
Yep.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't like the Friday night. That means Friday night football is all you're all about.
I love Friday night football.
Or Saturday football, if you go to college or whatever. But nonetheless, the rest of us most of us who live up here at least love our summers. And so if you want to complain about it, maybe talk to God about it. I don't know. Yeah. Because after all, he created the earth. He created the seasons. Summer, winter, fall, spring, day and night. Yep, he did. So those 90s that some of you despise, other humidity, God made them. But then again, I guess God created the below those 30 below zero wind chill. No, not the wind. No, I don't. I mean, he created winter.
He created that
wind stuff. I'm not so sure about those wind chills that feel like 30 and 40 below zero. I'm not so sure about those.
Oh, I think you did.
What?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't feel like it at the moment that they're blowing, doesn't feel like it. It feels like. To you, it doesn't feel like.
No, it's not that bad to me.
But to most of us, like you think most of us are crazy.
Yes, I do.
yep, there's different people. But then again, you see, everybody's different. Different people have different ideas even about what is climately, as far as what kind of climate to them is comfortable, what kind of, temperatures. Comfortable to them, but God did make all the different seasons. All right, I do want to remind you of a couple quick things before I sing a couple of songs and then open to the Word of God. And the first thing I want to remind you about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been in my life. It's my testimony and how he has brought me through, brought my family through. And I know, as the case with me, you know this thing of, oh, I was a, maybe, I was never a drug user. I was never an alcohol user. I was never a smoker. My mom was all three of those. But, you know, if you're looking for some of that kind of testimony, that's in there. Because my mom was freed from that stuff. But you know, sometimes the greatest testimony you can have about your life, you know, is not, well, I was freed from tobacco. I was freed from drugs. I was freed from, you know, alcohol and its effects. And the other, and, you know, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was a teenager, and I did, or 30 or 40 or 50 or, you know, the different kind of testimonies you hear about. You know, one of the greatest testimonies you can have instead is, you know, I was born, you know, I gave my life to Christ at a young age. I was walking in the light then. I'm still walking in the light, haven't departed. Stayed true to the Word of God. And I've been serious about it. That's the best testimony you can have. Don't you agree?
I think every testimony is the best testimony.
I agree. They are the best. But, I mean, there's something to be said, though, for those who have stayed the course.
That is a wonderful testimony to have, yes.
Yeah, it is, to be one who has stayed the course. That doesn't mean I've never had little slips here and there, maybe when I was younger or whatever. Because let me tell you, when you're a teenager, you go through stuff.
Oh, that you do.
Yeah, you do. But you know, maybe fall a little bit and then get right back up. And so that's how it's been with me. And I've never even tried the nicotine or alcohol or the, you know, these drugs, even marijuana, legal or not, I've never even messed with it. I've never thought that stuff was for me. Any of that was for me. No one ever told me why I should try it, why I should start. No one. But, you know, I've stayed the course with Jesus and just keep on keeping on with him. And, yeah, and so, but, you know, my testimony that is in there, you know, is him healing my body, you know, healing my hands from warts when I was very little, healing my immune system that when I was super little was super weak. When you go through cancer, when you have cancer at a young age and have to go through treatments, that can totally weaken your immune system.
Oh, big time.
Immune system, yeah, like it totally, but Jesus healed that. Jesus healed that for me. And I thank God for that.
Mm.
And I thank God for what he's done in my life and how he's using this book. And this book is helping people, folks. And you can be a part of it. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. That Rivers is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, as in like peace like a river. Amen. Like joy like a fountain. Love like an ocean.
And I've got peace like a river.
Yes, there's truth to be said about in those ones, even if they're just ones we sang when we were little. But nonetheless, go online to that website, riversofmiracles.com, find out information about how you can get that book in your hands. And I always pray, we always pray that anyone who reads that book is blessed. We do. My mom gets notified whenever someone buys a book. She knows about it. And God used her to write it. God used her to write it. She was, because she was all sitting there like, how am I going to do this? How? I mean, because she's like, yeah, there's things I know and that and things about his life and different things. But how am I going to do this? God helped her. God helped her. And God's using it. Yes, he is. And I thank God for that. And so the other thing I want to remind you about is sowing into the Miracle Man program. And again, I always, you know, a lot of times I like to do this now. I do want to thank these people who have been sowing their seeds into the Miracle Man program. Keep it coming. And you, listeners who are tuned in, can be just like them. Sowing a seed in the Miracle Man program helps keep us going. And by the way, when you're sow into the program here, it's good ground here. It's not like, you know, the thorns. It's not even among the path where the birds of the air just eat it up. Because that seed is the word of God. And if it's just sown, like, if it's just sown on the path, birds of the air just eat it up. And then there's the different analogies there, you know, because he tells that parable of the farmer sowing a seed. But then, now, this is good ground, great ground. When you're sowing into this program, it's good ground, and things are done for the kingdom of God. And thank God for that. Thank God for those of you who have sown your seed into the program. And you listeners, other listeners who are like them, who want to be like them, you can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. And I don't tell you what to sow at all. No pressure. No pressure. I believe in a no-pressure philosophy. No pressure. That is a huge reason why I am not turning this program. I'm not going to turn these shows into fundraisers and be like, going once, going twice, sold! I'm not going to do that. That, and what you're going to scout there for me, that's the closest we'll get. That's it. And you can go online to the website, paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I want you to keep in mind, please, that the first R in Rivers is capitalized. Also, the S in Shukla, also capitalized. Related to that, I do want to let you know that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So just make a note of that, if you would, please. Very much appreciated. I always try to remind your listeners of that so that when you sow your seed, it goes to the right place. Because what if there's a river Shukla out there, you know, and there's no space in between? But, you know, praise God. And I always pray for your seed when I get notification that you've sown seed. I always pray for that seed. I always pray for you, and I always call you blessed. And that you receive whatever it is that you're believing for from the Lord. And about that, I think it's a great idea for you to at least, even if you don't write it down while you're sowing a seed, at least, you know, have in your mind, what am I believing for God to do on my behalf? What am I believing for him to do? Healing your body? Maybe family members that don't know Jesus that need to get saved? maybe a wayward son or daughter, or maybe you're right, but maybe your parents weren't wayward prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be super common, but I'm sure it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's always great to have in your mind, what am I sowing this seed for? And then I sow your seed, you know, pray, continue to pray and ask God for what that thing is, what that miracle is that you're believing for God to do. Because when I talk about miracles on this program, I'm not just talking about miracles in our bodies or our minds. No, miracles come in all kinds of forms, including those prodigals coming home. That's a miracle. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep sloping away. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. And getting right with God and mean it. And mean it. And don't just say it just for something to say. Amen. And so... the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't say tithe, and it shall be given. Didn't say fast, and it shall be given. Didn't say pray, and it shall be given. Didn't even say think, and it shall be given. Nope. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running. Running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. Meaning, sow a lot, stretch a lot, be ready to receive a lot. Sow a little, stretch a little, don't plan on receiving that much. It's just the way it works. God looks on the heart. He looks on the heart. He knows your heart. He can tell where your heart is. You know, if you sow into the kingdom of God beyond the tithe, it should be beyond the tithe. Because when you just tithe and don't do any offerings, you're just doing the bare minimum to get that devourer rebuked. Because as you tithe, the Lord rebukes the devourer. And so you may wonder, what is that devourer? Sickness? Disease? Unemployment? You'll be laid off. Your mind going wacko? Your kids going wacko? I don't know. It can come in all kinds of ways. And that... God rebukes the devourer on your behalf. And I always know, you know, when you sow your seed, I pray over it. And I thank you for that, you know. And so now I'm going to sing a couple songs. And so if you would queue up song one, please, Graves in the Gardens.
Yep, getting it queued.
Yep. I search the world, it couldn't fill me. Land empty grave, treasures that ain't never enough. But you came along and put me back together. Is now satisfied hearing your Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I know it's true. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Where you can fall, Lord, you see the all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valleys. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Thank you, Lord. It's a morning to dance in. You're the beautiful essence. You're the same into glory. You're the only one who cares. You're the virgin to God. You're the foes into armies.
Yeah.
You turn seas into highways. You're the only one in case. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn the bridge into garden. Better than you, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn the bridge into garden. You turn those into armies. You can lead into highways. You're the only one who cares. The one who cares. You're the only one who cares. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number two.
Yeah.
not much, nothing that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, 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 oh, get up and praise the Lord. You got a lion inside of you. Get up and praise the Lord. You got a lion inside of you. You got a lion inside of you. Get up and praise the Lord. So don't you get shy of me, lift that those bones. You got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
in our lands, so we pour.
pour out our praises, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. Great are you, Lord. Our hearts will cry, these tongues will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. You are great. You are great in each one of us. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thankful for what you're doing, for what you're going to do, Lord God. And thank you for all that you've made. Thank you for what you're doing for each and every one of us. And you know what we have need of. You do, Lord. You know exactly what we need. And we know, Lord God, I know, Lord God, that you are able to do whatsoever we ask or think in your name. And we know that it will be done for us. And I thank you, Master, for your hand being upon us. And it's great to serve you. It's great to know that you are on our side. It really is. It's not something that I take lightly. It's not something where it's like this thing of, I guess. Nope. I know that you are on our side. You're making a way for us when it seems that there is no way. But I know that you are moving in our midst. Thank you for every listener that is tuning into the program tonight. Thank you that you're meeting their needs individually. Thank you, Master, for that you are anointing me, that you've anointed me to bring the Word of God tonight, and that these listeners tonight have ears ready to hear it, and that they will turn off distractions that try to keep them from focusing, that they'll just step aside from them and focus on you and what you have for them in the name of Jesus. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors come into this program. I thank you, Lord God, that finances come into this program. Thank you that increases, more and more listeners will hear about this program and tune in. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you will, if you got your Bible with you, turn with me, open it up if you will, to the book of Genesis 1. And I'm going to start with verse 1. We're going to take it back to the beginning. As I told you earlier, I would be looking at it from the beginning. In the beginning. And that's So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is how did God design for this earth to be? How did God design it? And what happened? So we're going to look at that. And I'm going to begin with verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And he said that, and notice, listeners, when it says day and night like that, it was in quotation marks. I wanted you to see there that God called it those things. It wasn't something man made up. God called it those things. Day, night. And there was evening. And there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the waters under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear. And there was so. God called the dry ground earth, land. And the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light and darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. In our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. One way we say that, let us give them dominion. Of the birds over the sea, birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Did you catch that, listeners? Male and female, he created them. That's how we made it. I'll get off on that now. Verse 28. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. And every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was morning, there was evening, the sixth day. We'll start to look at chapter 2. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. On the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Well, we'll look at the story of Adam and Eve and we'll see, you know, what happened. And we'll see what happened here. So, actually, first thing I want to do is talk about, you know, how did he create it? Then we'll see what happened with the whole Adam and Eve thing. God, so all this earth that you walk upon, you know, other than all the carpets and the hat, which, you know, were man-made, but you know, the grass, the soil, you know, the water, the Great Lakes, the oceans, the sea, you know, sea, Caribbean Sea, Caribbean, however you want to say it, Caribbean, both ways work, the different oceans, you know, the sky, the sun, even though some of us it burns, the sun that burns, Eugene, yeah, that thing, God made it. He created it. just wear sunscreen next time. That's all.
Oh, that's the key. Okay.
Yeah, yep. Just wear sunscreen. Some of us have different skin, but the truth is, he made us all. But nonetheless, God made this earth. He created man, and he told him. He instructed them. He instructed man when they were first made. He told them, "You have dominion. You have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. You name them what you want to name them." And so, you know, they came up with the names cat, dog, fish, you know, cow,
aardvark,
chicken.
I wonder how he came up with the name aardvark.
I don't know.
Or platypus.
Octopus. Like this. Like.
Because right.
Like the pocket. When you're octopus on the pocket.
Right.
Nope, not that kind of octopus. Someone I know does that. But nonetheless, I don't know why I chose to show it off right there, but I did. But that's being put away for the rest of the show, and so I'll get off of it. But all the different creatures, you know, the different animals, God created them. Even the sharks that attack people, even those things, they have a purpose. Might not know what it is, though. I might not know what it is. But God created it, and he told us, and even said over the birds of the sea, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the livestock on the ground, be fruitful, multiply. My version said increase in number, but not just to, not only to shorten it up necessarily, but to more accurately state what he meant. I said not just increase in number, but multiply. And no, not going to get into math. But he said multiply.
He said
multiply. And those of us, you know, like when our mothers had us, when they were giving birth to us, they were multiplying. They were increasing in number. And that's what was happening. They were reproducing. And so.
I just want to be clear. I was thanking the Lord that you didn't want to get into math.
But he said multiply. He said multiply. He didn't say just add. Multiply. And then, you know, he said that to the animals, you know, to the birds of the sea. So. That's the way he made it. And he says, I give all this to you for food. He did. That's what he said. You know, so like those people who say, you know, stop eating meat. Stop eating meat. You're killing the planet. Well, God said, all that is yours for food. That's what he said. He literally said that. That is yours for food. And so this methane stuff, oh, cows produce tons of methane. We have to get rid. Really? All right, let's go to verse 4 and what will happen with this whole Adam and Eve thing. Genesis 2:4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, and the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put the man that he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed, turn the page, from Eden. From there, it was separated by four headwaters. The name of the first is Beshon. It winds through the, I'll skip the rivers, the second river, third river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, which we know as Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, in this case, he did surgery there. He did surgery, put him to sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the flesh. He closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man must leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, leave and cleave, for they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. But then, you see, what happens is the serpent comes. And Adam and Eve, Eve first decides, that fruit on that tree. That tree looks, she basically decides, that tree's pretty cool. That tree looks kind of cool, But then that serpent is like, come on, Eve, go to that tree. Come on, just go to that tree. Take some fruit off it. It's not going to hurt you. In fact, it's only going to make you wise. It's going to make you wise. That's what that serpent said. But then she eats it, She goes to that tree, takes fruit from that tree, eats some. Then she takes some to her husband. And he ends up deciding to eat it. And so, you know, that was the first sin of man. And because of that, you know, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And, you know, that God had to make a whole new deal, you know, because, you know, and a whole new thing, you know, because man was designed to live forever, originally. We were designed to live forever. But because Adam and Eve ate that fruit, eventually they ended up dying. But it's not like they died on that, but they didn't obviously die on that very day. But they started the death process on that day. And, you know, I'm curious. I'd be curious to know, how did God just form Adam totally out of the ground? How? Wouldn't it be curious? How did he just form him out of the ground? How? Like, with what? You know? Wouldn't you want to know, Jay, like, how he did that?
Yeah.
Like, with what?
With his divine power.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, with his power. But I mean, obviously, he was from you know, he was up in heaven. So it's not like on earth, he just gathered these things and been like, this, and this other thing. And are just getting together, and that should create the flesh, you know, and now we got a man. You know, obviously, you know, it was divine. It couldn't just be, you know, but.
Maybe he's got a home video in heaven of it.
Yeah, I hope he does, because I want to watch it on HeavenFlix.
That'd be pretty cool.
I want to watch that on HeavenFlix. By the way, obviously HeavenFlix isn't necessarily real, but in my mind, that's what I would call it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a movie I would really want to watch on HeavenFlix. And obviously, you don't have to pay to watch it. You don't have to subscribe to it. You just, you know, watch that movie. I'm sure it has to be up there. I can't wait to watch it because I'd be curious, you know. How did this whole, you know, how did you just, you know, create, you know, how did this whole creation of man thing work? You know, what did you do? How?
Do you think when we get up there, though, we'll even care? Or do you think we'll just be in such awe?
I think we'll be in awe, but that doesn't mean that at some point that I wouldn't be curious.
Right.
Because eventually I would want to know. I would, yeah. Because to me, that whole thought of it, we're reading it tonight, that thing made it interesting. And it's like, how? How? But you see, and he works in mysterious ways, you know, mysteries that which we might not know, you know, here on the earth.
Right.
Because it says, you know, that, you know, there's all these different mysteries. And so, but then he does say kind of, you know, how he created Eve. And he did that surgery. He closed up the flesh. I mean, he did the surgery. You know, he took him to sleep, and then, you know, wake up. But then, you know, when we were designed to live forever, but then when Adam and Eve sinned, it changed that, because he clearly told Adam what not to do. Clearly, he didn't go, you cannot eat from a certain tree. Oh, I mean, you can. Like, where he has a hiccup and then his mind changes.
Right.
Some people do that. They'll have hiccups and then it's like it'll change.
What?
I feel like that can happen, but that's, God didn't do that.
Right.
God didn't do that. I mean, my point was that God did not do that.
Right.
Like where you just had the little, like where it's like God just had a little hiccup and then Nope. He meant what he said. He meant it. Do not touch that fruit. Do not eat of that tree. And because of it, they, you know, later in the garden, you know, after they'd eaten, they were afraid. And then he makes clothing for them. Then he kicks them out of the garden. Then they're to find a new home. Then they give birth to children. And then probably as a result of that, women, when they have birth, they have pain when they give labor. They have pain when they labor with children to bring babies into the world. It wasn't designed to be in pain. But God created the earth. He meant for it to be a certain way. He did. And just as God created the earth, eventually he is going to destroy it. He will destroy it at some point. But anyhow, you know, Adam and Eve, and you know, she was the mother of the living. And then of course he named him Adam. That serpent later has morphed into the devil. The devil who was kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. The devil that had musical instruments when he had been in heaven, when he was just Lucifer. Originally, Lucifer had instruments built into him. Did you know that?
I did not.
Originally, he had instruments literally built into him. He literally had instruments built into him.
I did not.
He was meant to be heaven's worship leader.
Oh.
Originally. But then he sinned against God. And he was thrown out. Thrown down. Along with a third of the angels. Which became demons. And that serpent was crafty. And that serpent trying to tempt Adam. That serpent trying to tempt Eve. She fell for it. She could have said, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to disobey God. She eats in that garden. It's an apple. I've teased before over the years and said maybe the forbidden fruit was actually a Reese's peanut butter cup. Maybe that's why they're so delicious. Of course, if there was Reese's on that tree. But then again, I would hope, you know, maybe they wouldn't be tempting. Maybe they'd have a certain label on them. Maybe they'd have a certain, that says do not eat. But it didn't. It didn't. Both of them ate it. As a result, the earth is not the same. Not quite the way that God intended for it to be. As a result, sin entered the earth that God created. Because we were made in his image. In his image. Not someone else's image. Not the image of all the plants. Not the images of the cows. Or the birds. Or the, you know, or the spinach. Or any of that. But we were created. As like image. We were created like him. We were created in order to serve him. Worship him. We were created to love him. And it's in him we move and breathe. we live, move, and have our being. It's in him, not in someone else. Because ultimately, it's God who made us. Even though our mothers gave birth to us, God made us. And, you know, if he made us, then, you know, he has it in him to heal us. And he heals us because he loves us. It's because he loves us. The truth of the matter is, we don't deserve, you know, the great things that he, you know, the great things that we get as a result through Jesus, you know, and all that. We don't deserve it. We don't. But the Lord gave us mercy. And I'm thankful to God for that. That he gave us that mercy, that he showed us that mercy. And he didn't just do it for something to do. He did it because he loves us. And I'm just thinking, I'm just so grateful for the mercy, for the goodness of God. Where would I be without it? Where would I be without it? Probably dead, because the doctor said I wasn't supposed to live past age 12. By the grace of God, thanks to the healing power of God, I'm still here. And he created it. So this idea that that you might have learned, that evolution, you know, you came from a monkey, which came from an ape, which came from, you know, another thing, and another thing before that, and a different animal before that, and a different animal before that, that didn't even have speech or any of those things. They just evolved. Nope. God created us. We did not evolve from an ape or a monkey. Jade, did you used to think you came from a monkey?
No, I never thought I came from a monkey. Although my dad always told me that I did because I was so hairy as a baby.
So he said, yeah, you came from a monkey. I came from an ape. I came from...
He was just joking, though.
Okay. He knew better.
Yeah, he knew better.
He knew better. He knew that God created us. When it came to evolution, I did not do good in that class. I didn't. Because I knew that we were not from monkeys or apes or these other animals that they say. You know, why do they still teach that we all evolved? I don't know. But we didn't. God created us. He made us just as he created the earth. That's how we know it's not like billions and billions and billions of years old. Do you remember reading in the textbooks in science class about the earth being millions and billions of years old? Do you?
No.
It was in there, though. It was in some of them about the earth being millions of years old.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, about certain feces for millions of years old. Do you believe that, or do you think they just made that up?
I don't know. I don't know very much about the biblical aspect.
If we knew exactly how long BC was it.
Right.
I would say, obviously, thousands of years, but I'm not sure. You would not be so sure about millions.
I have no idea.
But people can try to talk about all these different things of millions of years ago, billions of years ago. But what I know, God created the earth. And it didn't just come out of some made out of some substance. Nope. God created it. This very soil that this house, that these houses are built on, God created it. And, you know, and so That's what I think about. God made it for us. He did. He created us to be like him. And that's why, for why it's so great to serve God, the same God who made us. And eventually we are going to meet our maker. You know, when we die in our earthly death, we're going to meet our maker. And you know, on Judgment Day, we're going to give an account. Hopefully it's a good account. For me, I plan on it being a good account. I do. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would take this word to heart, that we would realize that you created us. You created this earth. And it wasn't just by chance. None of this was by chance. You designed it. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would be doers of your word and not just those who hear it and don't let it have any effect on us. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.